I know. Well, you went on a little dinghy, though. You got to go on a big boat.
It was not a good experience.
Well, if you go on a bigger boat, I think it might be a little bit better.
Maybe so.
Tonight, the NBA Finals underway, 8 o'clock.
I'm blessed. I was a kid who watched so many finals appearances and watched Michael Jordan and watched Shaq and Kobe and watched finals games, throwback finals games of Magic and Bird and Isaiah and so many teams and Hakeem and those guys in the mid-90s. I mean, I just wished and prayed that maybe one day I could sit up there and see the finals verbiage behind me and be a part of this. So, like I said, I don't need extra motivation. This is motivating enough, man. I'm extremely blessed.
Telling you, if I was in Las Vegas tonight, I don't think I would bet San Antonio -4. I don't think I would even bet Miami +4. I wouldn't bet Miami on the money line. What I think I would bet is the over-under, and I would go down. I would go under the 199. It seems just very high to me for a game one of the NBA Finals. Maybe after they feel each other out, the scoring will go down. Maybe tonight will be a high-scoring affair. I don't know. But that seems like an awfully large number to me for an NBA Finals game.
It doesn't. If you're rooting for Miami, it's very high.
Well, it's bad if you're a Miami fan, that's a bad number, 199. You need to keep it back in the 180s.
San Antonio is just they can score so well. They move the ball so well. And you look at...
But how healthy is Tony Parker? How impactful will that be if he doesn't play? Maybe not at all. Maybe they win anyway. I don't know.
It's going to be a fun series. It really is going to be a fun series.
Not according to Sterling. It's going to be 5 games and Spurs win. That would not be fun for me. That would suck.
It'd be fun for him. Apparently, he's betting on it.
Yeah, well, San Antonio would just wait to get back home and then win the 5th game on their own floor with the 2-2-1-1-1. All NBA teams announced yesterday. There was only one, maybe two guys that surprised me on first team. Did you see the teams yet, Pat?
No.
Okay, first team, two are obvious, Durant and LeBron. Can you name me the rest of the three on the first team? Because I would not have picked two of them.
I'm going to go Blake Griffin.
He did not make the first team. He's a second teamer. He is another guy I would have had obvious on the first team.
Got to have Chris Paul.
I would definitely have had Chris Paul, and in fact, he did make first team. There are two guys left to be picked.
Don't tell me. Please don't tell me James Harden made the first team.
James Harden made the first team, Pat Bradley.
Oh, man. That's such the wrong message sent to many, many basketball fans.
I have more problem with him than the other guy who also somewhat surprised me making first team. He was the defensive player of the year in first team all defense, Joakim Noah.
Yeah, Joakim. Love Joakim.
Second team, Blake Griffin, Dwight Howard, Steph Curry, Tony Pacquiao, and a man who may be on the move again, Kevin Love.
Yeah.
I guess not really again because he landed in Minnesota initially. I guess if Flip Saunders has his way, he'll probably keep him. And then third team, Damian Lillard, no problem there. Goran Dragic from Phoenix. Al Jefferson, who was this close to being a Razorback. LaMarcus Aldridge, another Portland guy. So two Portlandiers on the first or the third team. And then Paul George of Indiana.
God bless him.
Well, listen, I got to give Paul George's agent credit. And I don't know if Jimmy Sexton represents him, but this is a beautiful thing. Here's the headline, and I don't really need to give you much more than that. Paul George gets $7 million bonus just for being named to All-NBA third team.
Are you kidding me? You're kidding me.
Becomes the third player since 2011 to hit what has become known as the Rose provision, which is an escalator bonus in some max-out contracts. It's due to an element in the collective bargaining agreement, or better known as the CBA to you and me, installed 3 years ago. Allows a player on a maximum contract to get a significant raise if he wins the MVP, gets voted to start in 2 All-Star games, or is named to 2 All-NBA teams before the max contract kicks in.
Wow.
His new contract actually starts later this summer. But $7 million for making third team, that's amazing. 22.6 points, 7.6 rebounds, 3.8 assists in the postseason. I don't have his regular season numbers here, but I will assume they were pretty darn solid.
When you explain it that way, then I agree with that. And I'm not surprised, and I'm glad he got it because...
You're the guy that complains about 10 guys being on All-SEC first team. Don't you think if you're a third teamer, you're not really All-NBA?
True.
You're All-NBA if you make first team, for sure. If you make second team even, I can say, okay, you're All-NBA-ish, because Blake Griffin's a second tier. But if you're third team, are you really... I mean, that's like being an honorable mention guy.
No, you're right. And here's the reason why I don't mind that so much is because he hasn't hit his max contract yet. So I do, in a sense, agree with the fact
that he isn't playing like a max contract player when they need to have him, although he did have pretty good numbers on average.
He's going to. At 24 years old, they're going to have to lock him up. I do like that fact that they did give him that bonus before he was able to make $25 million a year.
It's no skin on my nose. I mean, it's not a dollar coming out of my pocket. It doesn't affect me one iota.
You realize he's going to make $20 million a year.
Yes. And again, it's not that you're better than everyone, and you're certainly not better than a lot of the guys that came before you, but you're as good or better than most of the guys that are playing now.
Paul George, where did he go to college?
Paul George, I have no idea.
Nobody knows. He went to Fresno State.
I would never have been able to come up with that.
He was the 10th overall pick in the 2010 draft.
Hmm. I don't have as big a problem with his contract deal as I do with this one. It's a guy that I think will never win an NFL championship, a Super Bowl. And just as soon as I say that, you know for sure he's going to win at least one now, because I said the same thing about Eli Manning. The 49ers have signed a deal with Colin Kaepernick, a six-year, $126 million contract. I am not a mathematician, but even with my limited ability to add, subtract, divide, and multiply, I can tell you that that's 21 per. $21 million per year for a guy who's never going to win a Super Bowl.
So you think the 49ers have seen their best days?
I think yes. I think they sniffed it, and they may get back close, but I do not expect them to ever win a world championship.
How long is that contract worth? How many years?
It's 6 years.
Six-year contract?
6 years, $21 million each. The thing that kills me is, and 61 of it's guaranteed, by the way. The thing that kills
me is...
That's
the most ever, right? The guaranteed, yes. I believe, is
they
the most ever.
They guarantee him that. But the other thing is, they complain about Johnny Manziel. Well, he won't sit still in the pocket. He won't be a pro-style passer. I mean, what about this guy? I watched Colin Kaepernick try to throw from the pocket in person last year. The guy can't do it. He just can't do it, and he's not accurate enough throwing. Although I will say, he does make some plays when he...
Justin.
Extends the play.
This kid is unreal. When he gets past the line of scrimmage, this kid is like a deer when he runs. I mean,
he's a great runner.
He gallops.
But he's not a great quarterback. I just don't believe it. I don't believe he's a great quarterback.
He has benefited from what? A great defense, right?
Well, he's got one of the best tight ends in the league.
He's now benefited from a great tight end.
Now mostly because of, you know, some of them are in
a great running game. Has he benefited? I mean,
no
question. Has he had a great running game?
No doubt.
I agree with you.
And he's contributed to the running game as well.
He has. At the end of the day.
He's got a lot of great weapons around him. I just think he's...
They had to pay him or lose him. What are you going to do?
Lose him. I would have, honestly. I think there are guys that will be better options long term. So he's had his chance to prove himself. They've gotten there with him.
Hey, Tony Parker thinks he has a great body. And
no doubt, that's
important.
I love this headline on FARC. If you haven't been to FARC.com in recent weeks, years, or ever, you should check it out. They've got some good... it's a good collaborative...
How many people run that website,
collaboration of stories? I don't know, but it's impressive.
It's called Drew Curtis's FARC.
Yeah, Drew is like the lead guy, kind of like El Prez on Barstool. I have no idea.
I think he's British.
Their FARC headline on this story is 49ers agree to six more disappointing NFC championship exits.
You know what's dumb about that?
Nothing. It's hilarious.
How many
They
teams,
didn't make a Super Bowl, though. So
I mean, do you think that you would want any of your teams to be competitive and reach the NFC championship? Of course you would.
Yeah, but I don't want him to lose over and over again, because then you become Donovan McNabb. I guess I'll have to change his name. Speaking of the NFL, one more note before we go to the phones. It's 11:23 here in the zone. The NFL is ditching the Roman numerals for Super Bowl 50. Do you know why?
Mm-mm.
Do you know what 50 is? Because I wouldn't have. Matty T, do you know what the Roman numeral is for 50?
No.
X?
It's L.
That's 10.
Is that funny?
L.
You can't have...
I thought you guys watched Game of Thrones.
You can't have Super Bowl L. You know what I mean?
Do you like how I typed up your ad libs in a Game of Thrones style font?
I do like that. What I don't like, I do like being called Lord Justin the Acre. And it's good to work with Sir Patrick Bradley. What I don't like is the fact that the Roman numeral thing is confusing. It is funny, though, that they get to Super Bowl L and they decide, yeah, we can't do that. If it was Super Bowl W, I bet they would do it. Super Bowl X would have been cool. Super Bowl 10 was awesome.
Yeah, L looks stupid.
There's not too many more
it's
things
like,
than I hate.
Like well, this, you know? L7 weenie.
Yeah, I mean, can't do it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Do you know what 100 is?
No.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, it's XIIV. No, I don't know.
I don't either.
There's not too many
probably
things
something very similar
that
to
are
that.
A more stupid
it's
than
the letter M.
The Super Bowl in Roman numerals.
But now that you do it, you can't go away from
it. No, I don't want to do it.
So next year it's Super Bowl Lee.
I don't want to
do
it.
It's L.I. next year.
Just give me what Super Bowl what?
Super Bowl 51 next
what?
Year. Lee. And then it'll be L.I.I., then it'll be L.I.I.I., then it'll be L.I.
I mean, did they think they're educating people?
L.I.V.
Is that the whole deal?
I don't know.
100 is C.
C, okay. Oh, well, we can't use C, Super Bowl C, so we'll go Super Bowl 100. So in 50 years, if you're still alive.
So what you're telling me is they're not using L.
Here's
I'm telling you they're not using
what
L.
What are they using?
They're using 50. They're
Good.
Using the number, yeah.
Good.
But I do, you can't go away from it, though. I think you have to come back with L.I. next year. It's become it's such a tradition, whether it's stupid or not, is almost irrelevant at this point.
They probably should turn the page on this whole Roman numeral thing. Just maybe a little.
It is kind of gladiator light, though. I appreciate the tip of the cap to the Romans.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, the Lions are in there.
Hey, I'm a big fan of the Romans.
The Lions are in the league.
Big fan of the Romans.
No Christians in there. Well, there are some, I suppose, but no official name, team name. Blake.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Great.
Good. You might want to rethink that Colin Kaepernick statement, Justin.
Ooh.
But, yeah. I mean, I'm not the biggest 49ers fan that's out there. You probably have one thing going for you. That's if they have to go through Seattle at least twice, probably three times to get to a Super Bowl. So you got that going for you. Bye.
Plus,
you
they got Arizona in their own division. Tough division.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
But I will tell you this, a little known stat, that if you go back and look at the quarterback ratings in the playoffs, since 2006, Colin Kaepernick has the highest quarterback rating of any quarterback, to include Brady, Manning, all of those. So he's already been to
Could you argue he has
the
most
in the playoffs twice.
Could you argue he has the most to work with, though?
Well, look at the weapons that the receivers that they've picked up this year. They've significantly upgraded. Of course, they've got Crabtree and Vernon Davis already. But remember, I can't remember his name, but the running back that blew out his leg that they drafted 2 years ago is now back healthy. I want to say the kid from South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Why can't we think of his name?
He's an absolute beast.
Lattimore.
He is an absolute beast.
And, of course, the defense for San Francisco is top-notch. So, and, maybe he doesn't win a Super Bowl, but he's certainly got the talent to do it.
Well, he's extremely talented. He's a gifted athlete. I'm not arguing that. He's also got some neat tats. That doesn't mean he's going to be a Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
We just set that benchmark. He's the highest-paid quarterback until the next quarterback gets a deal. And 5 years from now, 5 months from now, a year from now, that guy's probably going to be the fifth or sixth highest paid quarterback.
Johnny Manziel.
Russell Wilson's going to get his deal. Russell Wilson's going to get a huge deal. It's probably going to be bigger than Kaepernick. And then you got all the old guys. They'll have their deals. Colin Kaepernick will probably be the 10th highest paid quarterback in 2 years. But don't be surprised, Justin, if he wins the Super Bowl.
All right. I have to be. I'm sorry. But, I think my track record's pretty good on arguing against quarterbacks in the Super Bowl.
I bet Eli Manning never wins a Super Bowl. I bet he never wins a Super Bowl,
well,
ever.
You're disregarding the fact that he's there now.
Right.
I mean,
no, I'm not. I'm counting on that. Well, he's there now. That's the easy one.
Yeah. My bad.
That's the greatest. When was that? That was 2000 and that was 06.
Was right
no, that was 07.
He won his first one.
That was 07.
It was obviously before.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty stupid, but even after he won his first one, I knew not to argue against him
that
ever winning one.
Seven.
I did say he would never win two.
Years ago.
I said he would never win two, but he, anyway. Ben.
Well, first of all, as a lifetime Seahawks fan, I want to thank the 49ers for re-signing Kaepernick because
yes.
We kill it.
Yes.
But that's not the reason why I called. I wanted to ask you guys this question right here. If the SEC is serious about breaking away from the NCAA, do you think that it's a possibility that at some point they would look at eliminating the non-profit sports that seem to be bringing back some of that money that they're earning? You know, we just had the stat the other day that said they're making more than all the NHL teams and, 25 of the NBA teams. Would they be able to do that? Are they breaking away from the NCAA altogether, or is it just a football program?
It would be just football for the Big Five, and it's not just the SEC, remember. The other thing is, I think this is similar to when California Chromes folks came out and said, look, if you don't let them wear the nose strip.
Breathe right strip.
Yeah, we may have to go ahead and skip the Belmont and screw everybody over for a chance to see a horse win the Triple Crown. I think it's strictly a power play. And it's strictly if the NCAA doesn't play ball and give them what they want, which I imagine they probably will.
Okay.
So I wouldn't lose any sleep over. But you know what? Here's the thing. If the Big Five break away, I don't think at the end of the day it's hugely impactful because the majority of the schools outside of the Big Five are going to need a miracle to get into the Final Four playoff deal anyway.
But if they do break away.
They'll never get in.
Let's say the NCAA you know, stands the ground and says, no, we're not going to play ball, and they break away. Now, at that point, they are their own separate entity, aren't they?
Who dat?
The SEC would be.
Well, they're part of the Big Five, and the Big Five schools would govern themselves in football, yes.
Which is all anybody cares about, really, at the end of the day.
For those schools, yes.
Well, that's all the ones who make money.
They'll make their own rules, and they'll be able to compensate their players differently than these schools
outside of the Big Five. You're not going to make a lot of money watching University of Central Florida play.
Yeah, George O'Leary.
I'm sorry, you're not.
You should be
Call me what you want, but you're not.
That's my point, though, that those are the revenue-producing sports.
That's why they make the rules.
So they can make their own rules and say, okay, the volleyball team is not making any money, so we can just cut that loose.
Well, that's a different deal. No, they're not going
to
do that, though.
No, you can't cut it loose, but you don't have to give them what football players.
Look, if the Big Five have the ability to break away and do their own thing in the way they want, they're going to end up making more money. So they're just going to have more money to return back to the university. It's not a money-making venture. I mean, the university's not trying to make money on their football team other than for themselves to use as they choose. So whether they want to distribute that to the volleyball team, the tennis team, the swimming and diving program, or whatever, it doesn't matter. They're going to make more money at the end of the day, so their bottom line is going to be better. So they're not going to dump any sports. It should put them in a position to probably enrich the programs they already have or maybe add some.
All right, well, I appreciate you guys' time, and as usual, you're doing a great job.
I appreciate it.
So I'll continue to listen.
Thank you. And the good thing
is, as usual?
Yeah, you don't have to kick stuff as much back to the NCAA if you break away and they're not governing your football programs, I would guess.
Yeah, you don't get
to
pay Mark Emmert $1 million.
Yeah, screw you, Mark Emmert. Hey, Tommy Smith.
We are live at KU.